Well, good morning again. As we come to God's Word this morning, it is always an exciting thing to come for a pastor to share on Easter Sunday. And people often say that Easter Sunday must be such a hard one to prepare for. It's actually, it's easy because we get to talk about Jesus. And we always talk about Jesus, but it's just simply we're coming to celebrate the resurrected Christ. Good Friday is a little different. It's more scripted. It's got to be a little more solemn. We have to set the tone just right to get us all to feel that anguish of what happened as Christ went to the cross. But then on Sunday, we get to come and just celebrate what we know to be the end of the story. Now, I had picked the theme and the scripture for today a couple of weeks ago, and the Lord just kind of laid on my heart certain things, and that kind of came to a head on Friday night when I was having a hard time sleeping, and I was going to plan to finish it up yesterday, and I just laid there in bed, and I said, Lord, if I'm not going to sleep, at least give me my sermon so I don't have to worry about it tomorrow. And it, boom, just I thought about the scripture, and the 3 points just kind of came together. And I just went, okay, I'll get up in the morning and see if it sounds as good in the morning as it does right now at 3 in the morning. And it actually did. And but then I did something last night that no pastor should ever do. Now, and before you get too crazy in your thinking, let me tell you what it was. I went for a walk. That's not the bad thing. I need more of that. But I went for a walk, and I put on a Spotify playlist of Easter worship. And I tell you, every song made me rethink what I needed to say. And then the next song would say something beautiful, and I'd say, oh, I got to make sure that point's in there. And then the next song would come on, and it would hit another aspect of the crucifixion and resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. And every song approached in some way, and often in different ways, and often in amazingly poetic terms, what we have in Christ as our risen Savior. But I knew I couldn't preach all of those. I had to come and just share with you the heart that I have and the heart that the Lord has laid upon me. And today I want to talk to you about this idea of recognizing Jesus. Because if the resurrection is true, which I stand to say it is, and it has been true since it happened, it's not changing, it's the most profound thing that has ever happened on this earth. It's the most hopeful thing that we have. It's the most precious thing that we can hold on to. If it is so true and so real and so powerful and so mighty, why do we not feel the power of that every day? Now, we don't come once a year to celebrate the resurrection. We don't come 52 Sundays a year to celebrate the resurrection. We should celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ 365 days a year, every year. Because our risen Savior is not only risen on Easter Sunday, he's risen every day that we live and breathe. And whether we accept it or not, that's the truth. Whether we grab a hold of that gift that he's given us, that's up to us. And I say this not to be mean, and I say this not to speak down to anybody, but some of people in this world, some of you in this room, come once a year, maybe twice, if you come Christmas and Easter, to get just enough. And it's not enough. But I'm not picking on you. Everybody else that comes 52 weeks a year, it's not enough. It's not because we walk in this room and sing songs together and do communion once a month and get involved in groups and things that we walk with Christ. It's a choice that we have to make to recognize him every day and every moment of every day, whether we feel like it or not, and whether it seems like he's close or not, or whether it seems like he's real or not. We are called to walk with Christ in an intimate way because we're allowed to, because he died and rose again, washed us clean from our sin, and provided us the amazing opportunity to be restored into a relationship as sinful people, into a relationship with a holy and perfect God. You got to take that in. We have this because of who he is, what he has done. And we can walk in that kind of a relationship. And yet for most of us, we don't walk as if it's true every day. We can run into Jesus every day of our life in different ways. We can see him prove himself and show himself and provide for us, and we can not recognize it in the least. And I like to always ask for the poll, but I'm not going to do it today. But if I asked you how many of you think maybe you've missed something of Jesus somewhere along the way, that maybe he was in your life, maybe he provided something, maybe he showed up, and you just didn't recognize him. You didn't see him. And I think most of our hands would go up, because we choose not to recognize who he is, not to recognize his position in our life, not to recognize his perfect being as the guy who walked the human life in a perfect way, but was also perfect God at the same time. If you read the scriptures and you look at the testimonies of those who saw Jesus risen initially, quite often the story is a story of somebody seeing him but not recognizing him. And that is true of some of the people who were the closest to him. Those who walked with him every day, those who sat at his feet and got his teaching, those who were fed by his hands. And yet when they saw him, they didn't recognize him. As Pastor Dustin and I do, we talked this morning, and he was saying that's part of the reason I can trust it is because I don't get it. Did they not really know who he was? Were they blinded by God's choice? Were they blinded by their choice? Did he just look different? Did they not see the holes in his wrist and his feet and in his side? I don't know. But all I know is that there were many who were the closest to him who did not recognize him. Today, I'm going to take and walk you through, and I'm trying to figure this out. I had to look back. I couldn't figure it out. But I probably have preached through this passage more than any at Easter. But it's the story of the road to Emmaus. So you have your Bibles, please open them to Luke chapter 24. If you don't have them, we'll have this passage up on the screen for you today. You can follow along or you can just listen if you'd like. But this is a story of a couple followers of Christ who at first did not recognize him. So Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, and he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them, Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he walked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Now, we don't know for sure who these two were. We have Cleopas, the name of one. Now, the name of the other we don't have. And some of your, if you have older versions of the scripture, yours might say two men were walking along. We don't know if they were men. It just says there were two people. Cleopas is a good chance he was Clopas that was mentioned by John, different spelling of the name, but the same one, who was the husband of the third Mary at the cross. There was Mary, the mother of Jesus, her sister, another Mary, the husband of Cleopas or Clopas, and then Mary Magdalene. There's a good chance that Cleopas was walking with his wife, who was one of the ones that was one of the few that remained at the foot of the cross. My guess is, if this were true, if she were in with that mix of Mary and her sister and Mary Magdalene, there was probably a good chance that at that Last Supper, that Passover feast, that Mary was there. It's a good chance that maybe she was in the kitchen getting things ready and preparing the meal for the Passover. I don't know for sure, that's speculation, but there's a good chance that those women were involved in that process and making it all come about. And either way, these were followers of Christ. Yet when the crucifixion happened, that they're on their way back from Jerusalem to Emmaus, 7 miles, 11 kilometers roughly, and they're walking and they're going and they're about their business, and they don't recognize Jesus when he comes. Now, the reason I like this passage is because I can so relate to it. I like to disciple bash. I like to say to these people, how crazy are you that you didn't see that? And yet 2,000 some years later, I have all these stories of people that didn't get it to set an example for me of what not to do. And I still mess up. And I still see Jesus in my life, and yet I deny him or I act like he's not there or I refuse to recognize him. So why do we not recognize Jesus in our life? There's a lot of reasons. Just as in this passage, sometimes we're busy. We're going about our work. We have to do the next thing. These two in this passage, Cleopas and this other person, whether it's his wife or another companion, it doesn't matter. They're rushing back to Emmaus for some reason, and they've got places to go and people to see. There's a good chance they were just trying to get out of Jerusalem before everybody got arrested and hung on a cross. The one they had hoped would be the redemption of Israel was gone. He was dead. He was put into a grave. And even though they had heard the stories of the resurrection, they didn't believe it or didn't see it or didn't get it or didn't grab a hold of it. So they were busy. And all of us in our busy life, anybody here busy ever? This is one where everybody raises their hand, okay? I don't know anybody here is not busy. I know if I see your face, you're busy. Okay? If I know you, I know you're busy. We're all busy. And sometimes in the busyness of our life, we lose out on the things that are most important to us. And for followers of Christ, that can mean Jesus. That can mean losing sight of God in front of us, Christ giving us an opportunity to do something, or just the opportunity to sit at his feet as Mary did. So sometimes we're just too busy. Another reason we don't recognize Jesus is sometimes we're just not looking for him. These two coming from Jerusalem back to Emmaus, whether it's their home or not, doesn't matter. But they failed to see that all that Jesus had taught leading up to the arrest and crucifixion, they refused to see that tied to the Jesus of today or that day. They didn't realize that he said what he said, because he would do what he said. that he would die, that he would go into a tomb, that he would be raised up on the third day from sin and death and walk again. They didn't see that. We have the amazing ability to close out Christ in our life because we're not prepared to look for him. They didn't expect to see him on the road, so they didn't see him. And sometimes in our life, we don't expect to see Jesus, even though we call for him, we cry for him, and yet we go through life as if he's not going to show up. And we do everything on our own power. Another reason that we don't see Jesus sometimes is because we're prevented from doing so. In this passage, it says in verse 17, they stood still, their faces downcast. If you actually look at that root of that word, what it means is full of gloom. They weren't just like, oh, okay. They were full of gloom. Everything is falling apart. Everything's gone wrong. Everything we hoped for is not going to happen. Everything we thought was going to be is not. And they were full of gloom. Jesus wanted to comfort them, and yet they didn't want to be comforted. They had the yeah, but mentality. Yeah, you can tell me that, but he's not here. Even though he was there. When we have this gloom, when we have this doubt, when we have this downcast way about us, that we have this ability to let pessimism shut off our faith. We have this ability to just hear these rumors and know that Jesus may be out there, but just say it's not really true. I hope he is, but it's just too good to be true. It's too good to know that God would actually show up in my situation and make things better. We simply believe at times that Jesus will not show up in our lives, even though he promised us that he would. So what do we have to do to recognize Jesus? What do we have to do to know that he's there and to pay attention to it and to be awake to it? And there's a couple things that we can see from this story. And the first one is very simply that we need to walk the journey of life with Jesus. This was an 11-kilometer walk, which is not uncommon in that day, but it was a long walk. Jesus shows up. We don't know where along the way, but he shows up. My guess is somewhere close to Jerusalem at the beginning of the journey, and he walks the whole journey with them. Because it says as it's becoming nightfall and the day is over, he's in Emmaus with them. So Jesus is walking this road with them. He doesn't come and give a quick answer and then bolt out. He doesn't come and just give a little piece of information and leave. He comes and he walks for hours with them. Some of us have the mentality that when Christ comes into our life, he comes so much just to, in these moments, little tidbits here and there, that moment when I accepted Christ on that rock in the creek at Camp Tapawingo in 19, whatever you fill in the year, or whatever camp you went to, or whatever retreat you were at, or whatever moment your family talked to you about these things. That's where Jesus showed up, and then he did his little magic trick and made me clean, and then he left again. It's not how it works. In the moment of their deepest, darkest despair, downcast, full of gloom, Jesus was there the whole way with these people. He walked the road with them. So if you want to not miss Jesus, if you want to recognize Christ in your life, then realize that at every point of your journey, even today, no matter how bad it may seem, you may have put on your smiley face to come in here. You may have put on your Easter best to come together and walk in here. You may have come and acted like, you know what, I'm not going to worry about my problems today because it's Easter. And I either got ham or turkey afterwards. No ham after last week. I only mentioned ham once, okay? I was told I mentioned ham too much last week. But you're going to go and eat something with potato salad or scalloped potatoes or something. And you're going to put on your best, and yet you know that life still sucks. Life is still dark and full of the stuff that you were dealing with before, and you'll be dealing with it afterwards. And I want you to know that Jesus is not with you in this moment because you're in this room celebrating and singing these songs. That Jesus was with you when he walked in this place, and he'll be with you when you walk out of this place. And sometimes, in the heat of the moment, we don't recognize that. We don't realize he's right there with us. So if you want to recognize Jesus, realize he's on the journey with you. The second point is, if you want to recognize Jesus, you got to dig deep into his story. What did Jesus do when he walked with these people after he heard that they didn't understand and didn't get it and didn't see him and they had walked away? He began to tell them the story of all that was to happen. He started with Moses and the prophets, and he worked through the whole Old Testament and told the whole story. And if you want to recognize Jesus in your life, you need to understand his story. You need to understand that this Bible is not 66 different books by a bunch of different people at different times and different places. But as we've talked about before, that this Bible, this book that we have, this letter written to us, is God's love letter. God's love story from beginning to end, with one thread through the whole thing, of a perfect God who created people who turned their back on him and yet who wants to be restored to those people and have a walking relationship with them. That is what we have. If you want to understand who Jesus is, you need to understand the whole of his story. He's not the shell answer Jesus. People old enough might know who I'm talking about. The Shell Answer Man was on the TV commercials for Shell, and he would answer questions about your car. Jesus is not there just to answer the question every once in a while. Jesus is there, as we talked about last week, as our yes and our amen to every promise he's ever given us. If God says it's going to be true, it is a yes, and it will or has been already made true. And we can say our amen, as in what I said last week, I believe it to be true. We need to understand the story and where we fit into that. And if you understand that, you understand that he had to come. He had to die. He had to go on the cross. He had to go in the tomb. He would rise again, and that he would promise us the seal of the things to come through the work of the Holy Spirit in us. We need just to trust that that is true. All that he promised will become true. So if you want to see Jesus, you don't want to miss him, you want to recognize him, journey with him. And while you journey with him, get to know his story. Let him teach you. Let the Holy Spirit enlighten that word into your life. Don't come once a year or twice a year or once a week and expect somebody to give you enough to get you through. Grab his word, read it, study it, get to know it. Wrestle with it. Disagree with it. It's okay. God can handle it. But see the truth of who God is through his story. The story goes on and tells us that as they walked and they got to Emmaus, where they were coming to, that Jesus acted like he's going to keep going. I love the fact that it says he acted like it. Like Jesus had this plan. Like, I'm going to act like I'm going to go, and then they're going to call me back, and I'm going to get a free meal. It's kind of like, you know, the guy says, no, I'll pay. But you really don't want to pay. You want somebody else to pay. I don't think it was that. But he just was going to go on. And they said, hey, stay with us. End of the day. It's dark. It's getting dangerous out there. Stay with us. And he stays. And he goes to the table. And he takes the bread at the table. Brought a loaf of bread here. And he takes that. And it says, as he broke the bread, their eyes were opened, and they recognized who he was. Now, I don't know who kept them from seeing, whether it was God or themselves. All I know is that it says when he broke the bread and gave thanks for it, they realized who he was. There's a lot of scholars out there who would say it was in that moment that they saw the nail holes in his wrists and knew that it was him. And I say, I don't think that's true for one good reason. He was a Palestinian man, and he had walked 11 kilometers telling a story. Anybody been around Palestinian people before? They don't talk like this. They talk like this. Their hands are everywhere. Great. They tell great stories. If they were to see the nails in his hand, the nail holes in his wrist, they would have seen it long before then. I wonder that as he broke that bread and gave thanks for it, what did it remind them of? What they had seen four nights before. What they had seen for 3 years as he walked with them and shared life with them and broke bread regularly with them. and shared meals constantly with them. Now, the Passover was one example of that, where he set a pace. They would say, whenever this is done, you will remember me. And that day in Emmaus, he broke the bread. And when he did, and gave thanks for it, when he did, their eyes were open and they saw who it was. I think it was in the moment of community and communion around bread together with Christ that all of a sudden they realized who this was. So if you want to get to know Jesus, not miss out on him, you want to recognize who he is in your life, walk with him regularly. Let him journey with you through your life every day, every step, every place. Get into his story. Know his life story. Know it well. Know all those hundreds and thousands of words that predicted what would happen in his life that did. But also have communion regularly with Christ. And how do we do that? Well, as you walk with him, you commune with him. You talk with him. You share with him. I've shared the story before that when we moved to Alberta 20 years ago, I was lonely. I was so busy. I've shared the story with you before. I'm sorry if it's a repeat, but I was so busy getting my wife and kids settled that I forgot to, you know, take care of myself. And one day I found myself very lonely and saying, Lord, give me a dear friend that I can share communion with on a regular basis, or make me content without it. Not thinking that Jesus would ever choose the latter, but that's what he did. And for a season of a couple years, my closest, dearest friend, and still is, was Christ himself. I wanted a Tim Bieber, the friend that I had had in Portland, to sit down and have coffee with regularly and to talk about life. But for those years, until God brought other people into my life, Jesus was that person. And I had those moments at Starbucks where it was just me and him. And, you know, people call those dark valley moments. They're dark valleys maybe, but they're wonderful, amazing mountaintop experiences. So you can have that moment of communion when you just sit in a coffee shop with you and Christ, pouring out your heart to him and just journaling or listening or just spouting off in the car or whatever you do. But even more, maybe not more, but also, God has given us the communion of each other. And when we come together, there is value in coming into this room. There's value in breaking the bread together and coming to the tables together for communion on a regular basis. There's value in sitting in each other's homes and just sharing life together. We had folks over yesterday, and it was fun just to have them in our home and get to know them deeper than what we do and just, you know, the other things that we do together, even though we know each other pretty well. Love just getting to know people and sharing life. And when you do so, you don't have to preach. You don't have to say special things or do special things. Just having a meal together brings communion in Christ, to the point where we can see Jesus in other people. We can see Jesus in the situation. We can see Jesus in all that he provides in our life, as we just share life together. So if you want to recognize Jesus, and you want, as these two people felt, were not our hearts burning when he was talking to us and telling us the story? Did our hearts not burn inside us? And did we not know that it was him? So as you walk the journey of life with Christ right beside you, as you delve into his story deeply, and as you share communion with him and with him through his church, I pray, and my hope is that your heart will burn with a full knowledge, or a fuller knowledge, of the resurrected Christ. That your heart will swell with the greatness of who he is. That you will not forget or forget to recognize that the life you have is not perfect on this earth at this time, but that everything you need for eternal life in Christ has been given to you and done for you. Everything that you cannot do, he did. And all you have to do is accept it, recognize it, walk in the fullness of it, and have that blessing of the resurrected Christ every day of every year. Not on Easter Sunday, once a year. Not on 52 Sundays a year, but every day. So as you walk out of this place today, I hope you walk out of here going, man, I honor and glorify and worship a risen Savior. The only reason we can come to God the way we do is because of what he's done for us. Without Christ, we would have no right to see him standing in here and worship God, because he would not want to be in our presence because of the evil in our life and the perfection in his. We can stand here and worship him because he's provided the way. So walk the journey with Christ. Dig deep into his story and walk in true communion with him individually and with him through his church. And I hope you can leave with that knowledge and that hope today. I just want to pray for us, and Pastor Dustin and the team are going to come and lead us in our last song, and then you can go out and celebrate the resurrection of Christ in lots of different ways. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today. We thank you for the fact that, Lord, even though we don't recognize you at times, you're always there. Lord, whether we've accepted you into our life or not, you're always there. Lord, even if we have not grabbed a hold of the gift of eternal life in you, it's not something we have to go digging around in an attic to look for. It's not something that we have to dig up from the old days. Lord, it's right there. It's just a gift we have to receive. So for each of us in here today, I pray that we would be walking closely with you for the journey of life. That we would be digging deep into your story to get to know you all the better. And that, Father, very simply, we would have regular and ongoing communion with you and with your body, the church. And that we would be blessed in all these things. To not lose sight of who you are and where you are. And to not feel like we're walking alone without help when we need it. That, Father, you are there for us. And your being raised from the dead makes the difference that we need. And everything should be different because of it. We ask that now in the name and the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen.